Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
1, 2, 3, 4. Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. Yeah. We can't call it. Top star, free balling.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, no, that was way off.
Yep.
I'm disappointed. We can next week we got to do better.
All right, everybody.
Off to a bad start.
It's only going to get worse because we have so much depressing fucking news.
Everything's depressing. America is still fucked up.
Yep.
That's not changed, and it's not going to change for a while. But we'll continue to update as we know. Just expect every episode to start with America is still fucked. Nah, 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 nah.
Did you? I don't know if you saw this viral video that was going, well, as I said, viral.
Maybe.
It's like this family shooting fireworks, and then it just goes wrong, and then their car fucking like explodes, and fireworks are going all over the place, and they're all just sitting around in the front yard.
What?
Yeah, 4th of July.
What the fuck? No, I saw the video of the guys in Minneapolis that were driving around for hours shooting, like, machine gun fireworks at houses and shit.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, the police did not give a fuck.
1,300 plus 911 calls, dude.
That was mad. What are they doing over there?
Nothing, apparently.
No, I've got live report of police in Minneapolis right now, Sebastian. Here we go. Donuts. I've got donuts. I see them now. There they go. Yo, someone's being murdered over there. No, get to it later. Okay, cool. Yeah, you do. You.
Cool.
Key.
If I go now, that means I have to put my donut down, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Oh, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Hot and fresh out the kitchen. Pumping into submission or something. I don't know the words.
Like there was a shooting on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Chicago of all, yeah, it makes sense.
And you're just like, it's so fucked. All you can do is really laugh at it. At least I can. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
Well, I mean, well, first of all, rest in peace to the people that lost their lives on a day they probably didn't even have on their bingo card on not going to sleep from. How does anyone wake up on 4th of July and think, oh, today's the day I'm going to die? No, you expected, you want to go have hot dogs. You want to spend time with the family. You want to go see some friends. You want to have some fucking drinks.
And I feel like, you know, with all the, you know, very patriotic, you think that would be like the one day of the year where you're like, you know what, today?
Yeah.
Let's not do shit.
Right?
But no.
Do these guys have no respect for anything at all, ever?
No. Nope.
Jesus Christ. Was it a minion of Donald Trump? I've not done as much research into this one as I do other shootings in America.
Honestly, man, like I've no idea. I'm just tuned out to this stuff. There comes a certain numbness with it, I think, at this point. Like, because it just keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps reoccurring, and people keep dying, and no one gives a shit, and everyone just spends their time talking about it and politicizing it, and it's just like, okay, I guess, you know, fuck all those people who just wanted to have a good time, and now they're gone. Fuck them all.
Yeah.
That, I feel like that's the takeaway. It sucks that is, but that's what it is.
And in speaking of losing people, we lost a few good ones today.
Yeah. Yep.
You wanna kick it off with old Jimbo?
Yeah. So James Caan, he was 82.
And you told me, like, this literally 10 minutes ago.
It literally just came out a few minutes before we jumped onto recording, and it's just like it's so fucking crazy. Like, the amount of stuff that this guy was a part of. Like, I think the first thing I ever saw James Caan in was Elf.
Yeah, probably same, actually. Yeah.
And, you know, it makes sense. I was not watching the fucking Godfather at, like... I was still 12, too young for the 11 Godfather. 11
years old,
but when
12 years old.
But when I fucking saw it, I fucking saw it. And, like, he's done, like, a crazy... It's, like, looking at his IMDb, you just see the amount of shit that he's done, and it's... He's been working since the 60s, dude, and, like, almost nonstop.
Mm-hmm. The man was always on the go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he even cameoed in the remake of Hawaii 5-0 as Scott Kahn's dad. I can't be sure that I stopped watching Hawaii 5-0 after, like, 2 seasons. It was not good. Hear it from me, folks.
Fucking...
Stay away. Right. And then we also lost. Kazuki Takahashi.
Yeah.
I butchered that name into high heaven. I apologize. We were on the phone before we started practicing, and now I'm as stupid as John Travolta in the Oscars.
You were at least in the realm of his name. I don't know where the fuck Travolta was.
He's like, her name's this.
Okay,
right,
I'm going to call her that.
Did I just unlock a core memory for you right now?
A little bit. It's just like...
Because that was before we met.
But no, yeah. Kazuki Takahashi, if you guys don't know, he's a Japanese
mastermind.
Artist. He's the creator. He created Yu-Gi-Oh!
That's crazy.
Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Wouldn't be a thing without this guy. And you know, we lost him. He was 60 years old. You know, rest in peace.
Is it just me, or is, like, there's a lot of artists, like, creators, original actors from Japan that are dying from, like, anime and manga, like, classic anime manga stuff? Is it just me? I feel like I see... trending a few times a year. Like, I'm pretty sure a cast of the original Dragon Ball Z in Japan died recently. There's I mean, this is the English version, but the voice of Blue in Pokemon,
yeah,
he died recently too. I mean, I grew up with that fucking guy. Imagine being told to voice the rival of the main guy in Pokemon for, like, the animated show. That's not easy to do. Like, because when we were kids, we were very hero-driven.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look at everything. Like, all we had was, like, strong heroes defeating the villains.
Yeah. But then also, like, you think about... Because I hear actors talk about it all the time, where it's like, it is so much fun to play the villain.
That's what Christian Bale just said with the up-and-coming... Thor: Love and Thunder. I'm seeing it on Saturday in IMAX.
Oh, I'm not seeing it till, like, end of the month.
Oh, next week. You are ruined.
Oh, fuck you.
I choose the topic or you die. Speaking of topics, what is this week's topic, Sebastian? Segway 101, everybody.
I think it was bad. Like, okay, so today the idea is stand up.
Now it's time for a trip down memory lane. Join us. Sebastian, everybody, take it away.
For those who don't know, I used to host a podcast called Laugh Riot. The idea was I would do like a deep dive on history of comedy, and I kind of stopped just because it was just me and I was hella lonely. So Ed and I are huge comedy nerds. If you weren't as big of a nerd as you were before you met me, I feel like you're a much bigger one now.
I watched very much as someone who just knew what comedy he liked and stuck to it. Every now and then I would try and branch out after hearing a few reviews or just like hearing that everyone was listening to this guy. I watched a few comedians that way. Lee Evans, Kevin Hart. And then I'd listen to stuff my dad liked, stuff my brother liked, because I wanted to be included with them. Because I never really watched football with them. So I was like, oh shit, what can we do? It was like, so we watched stand-ups. But then I met you, and we went on that sort of 2019 stand-up binge, which was awesome. I'm pretty sure that was over the summer. I remember we started with, I watched it before you. I don't know if you'd seen it already before me, but let's go straight into the topic. We started with Bill Hicks Revelations.
Yep.
And I watched this and I was like, I know it's not politically Sebastian's flavor, and neither is it really anybody's that I know, but he's just he just comes across as so anti everything, even though he has his own political views. He's still sort of like, that's because I just really hate the other guy. It's not because these guys are right. It's because I hate them so much that I don't want to see them in power anymore. So I have to vote for these guys, because a vote anywhere else is a wasted vote. And that's what it's become in America. Like, if there are other parties, there are other people you can vote for president. But it's like, if the media only shows you two fucking guys, occasionally a girl, you're not going to vote for anyone else. You can put any other name on. I remember the year 2016, didn't people vote for Harambe? I mean, fucking come on. That's just ridiculous. But it's like, what I learned through you was that Bill Hicks was, at the time he was doing his comedy stand-up, he was relevant. He prided himself on being relevant. And you were there, you were telling me, it's like, you can be relevant and fucking hilarious. It doesn't always need to be a story from when you were 5 years old, or like the story of how you met your girlfriend, or the story of how you and your mates fucked up on a stag do. You can take everyday subjects. Guy took fucking the JFK assassination and made one of the most hilarious stand-ups I've ever read in my entire life. So we went to the JFK Assassination Museum, named before the assassination, I think. Wait a minute. You can't even see the road. They've been lying to us the whole time. Unless you were dangling out the window ledge with your feet, surely someone would have seen that. Come on, man. He knew how to slice into everything. And it made me respect underrated comics.
Yeah.
What I watched through you was stand-ups you never really seen before. Like, you opened my life to, like, there's more than just, like, the Netflix special.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I learned. That's what I learned for you.
The Netflix special. That's something I definitely want to touch on.
Oh, God. So I've got two other stand-ups I want to bring up at some point. I don't know if you have any you want to bring up along the way, but...
No, I got a couple.
Yeah. None of them are Netflix specials.
No. Like, that... I feel like this is going to be kind of like a mix of, like... Of usually what we do, like, of lists and, you know,
information. Come sit next to us. We want to hear about your favorite comedies.
So for me, in terms of like where I initially started with comedy, it was movies. You know, I started watching movies, and it was Jim Carrey, it was Mike Myers, Dana Carvey. You know, I started watching these guys religiously. And then that led me to SNL, which led me to more people, which kind of like set me on the path of like comedy, but in terms of like stand-up, the very first person that I very vividly remember watching, it do you remember watching the Kings of Comedy? Obviously, you know, that classic Bernie Mac bit.
He was teasing me. Yes, I remember the Kings of Comedy. I can't remember all the comedians in it, but...
Mm-hmm. But there was an offshoot of that called the Latin Kings of Comedy. That was the very first special I ever watched. And it was the three big ones that stuck out to me. Cheech Marin, Paul Rodriguez, George Lopez.
We know the George Lopez story.
But like, so like,
like everyone knew the Bill Hicks story.
So like, in watching this guys, I got the interest in stand up. So I would find ways of watching more and more and more. And I just became obsessed with it. But I think if I was going to pick a stand up special to be like my be all end all, like my go to, and it still makes me laugh to this fucking day. Mm. Gabriel Iglesias, Hot and Fluffy.
Oh,
it is so fucking
Do you know why I stopped you, sir?
Because you can smell it.
I'm going to lose my headphones. That's so good.
Thank you. And it's like, and you know, we were kind of talking about it, and like in terms of our favorite types of comedians, and I feel like we're both in the camp of storytellers.
Yes.
Obviously, there's a bunch of like people who just do jokes, like, you know, especially what's his name, Jimmy Carr.
Mm.
I think he's hilarious. I think his stuff is funny. And every time he has to interact with a heckler,
Jimmy Carr pisses me off. I like it when he fights a heckler, but his actual
that shit's so funny.
His actual, like, the body of his actual stand up is just is mm-hmm. like. I just feel like he's being offensive for offensive sake. It's become it's become his whole personality. It's like the girls on TikTok. And it's like, ah, oh, I know you want me to look at that necklace, but that's not what you're. That's not what's in focus. What's in focus is the mountainous cleavage the necklace is sitting on. And it's like, check a profile. She's on Instagram, which leads to other places.
Yeah.
God damn it. Every team. Every team. You win again, gravity.
Oh,
we're fucking idiots. But yeah, I want to touch on what you just mentioned. Comedy with a story. I love that. Like, I love the comedies where you can tell that the comedian has lived. And I think someone who does this really well, like today, is Kevin Hart. You can tell this motherfucker has gone through some shit, has lived through some shit, and he draws from that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it becomes like this really natural, sort of almost really engaging comedy. Because at the same time as being almost an unreachable celebrity status for these days for anyone else, he kind of portrays himself as like, I'm a family man who's just trying to work. Who's just trying to support his family. He just wants the best for his family. Every single member, past or present. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, dumb shits do dumb shit. And it becomes funny shit for me. If I'm Kevin Hart's kids, I'm scared. I'm like, now that I'm a cognitive human being, because when he was making comedies about them, they were really young. But now that they're old enough to really understand what daddy does, it's like, shit, like...
I can't give this, like, motherfucker any material.
We're literally on the cusp of, like, a comedy special where we hear about his kids, like, getting caught smoking weed or fucking up in school or doing well in school, fucking up in relationships and shit. Getting caught having a house party. Fucking teenage shit that we could live through and, you know, we could get grounded. These guys can live through. But then dad's going to take you through the ringer for millions of people to see. It's like...
Roast. They will be absolutely fucking roasted.
Boom. Roasted.
Those poor kids. Boom. Roasted. Exactly. Fuck.
But yeah.
But I get what you mean. Like... Yeah. Like...
There's a history behind his words. Mm-hmm. You can, it grounds his comedy
I've been speaking for too long. I'll mention the next stand-up I want to talk about in a sec.
Yeah. All right. So, from just piggybacking off of that, I think that's kind of why I connect more with storyteller comedians. I mean, we're writers, we're storytellers. So, there's that common ground there. And like for me, Gabriel Iglesias is kind of up there in terms of like Kevin Hart because he does the same shit. You know, he's just kind of like, he's even outwardly said in most of his special, he doesn't really write jokes. He just talks about what happens to him because it's funny. Mm-hmm. And it is really funny. And like someone who stands out in terms of that recently for me is John Mulaney. Ooh. I went to go see him with my brother and my sister in Vegas, and it was his brand new special. This was after, you know, all of his drug issues and all of that, and you know, coming back from that, this is his first special back, and listening to him talk about that stuff so honestly and so purely, and even just in a very funny way, was so great. Like, he was talking about how
he's healing, you know, in front of you. He's literally healing in front of you. Him telling you all this shit helps him 100%.
And it's just genuinely so funny. Like, he was talking about how his intervention, there were all these famous people there. He was just name dropping who was there. And I'm like,
get
dude.
Fucked. Get fucked. So do you remember anyone? Funny. Do you remember anyone?
Seth Meyers was definitely a big one, because I remember he was on his show recently and they were talking about that and how like he felt he was more prepared and more well-groomed and everything for his intervention than his friends were. It's like, how am I the best looking person at this intervention?
Seth's been on the fucking practicing his lines in the bathroom on a Friday night, if you know what I mean. Yeah, you got it. Oh. See if everyone else does.
I listened to
Hit me.
Whitney.
I love Whitney Cummings. I love what we're doing here.
I love Whitney Cummings' podcast, and she was talking to Sarah Schreiber. If you don't know, she's one of the newest cast members on SNL, and they were talking about how Sarah had posted something, and she was essentially getting bullied for bullying herself. Like, you know. The idea of, she posted something and then like her caption was a self-deprecating joke. You know, it's a joke. But she was essentially being told, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. You're setting a bad example for people. You shouldn't make fun of yourself and this and that. And I'm like, you're fucking bullying hell. Me for bullying my... And they started talking about how apparently there's this thing within the comedy community where like their people are just... They don't want the self-deprecating jokes anymore. So I don't know where... I want to get where you would stand on that. So do you think self-deprecating jokes are good or bad, or do they hurt?
I mean, I game a lot with the boys. All it is ripping into each other. Like, every weekend, like Saturday, Sunday, I'll give myself the day off, and like, if I don't already have something planned, I'm playing games. And even if I've got something planned, I'll find a way to play games. If it's late at night or just early on Sunday morning. I've got a bit of a gravelly throat. Just call me a graveler, yet to evolve into Gollum. and I find myself like, if you try and stick up for yourself when it comes out, it's like, you know, short dick humor, fart joke humor, you know, mom joke humor, all that kind of, all like guy stuff. If you try to fight back, you become more of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to lean into it sometimes. But there's been times where, like, to sort of like, I've gone in on myself a few times for a laugh, and then I notice that like other people have reacted to that and have changed their jokes because like what I said was so like not so funny, but like. It's like, oh, if Ed's going to talk about that, talk that way about himself, maybe it's cool for me to do it too. And it's like, and there's sometimes I should have stood up and I was like, yo, no, like that's too far, man. I've had it all my life, man. You know, I'm a big boy, like physically, but then now also mentally.
maybe earlier in my life, I was, you know, it got me a little bit angry. I got into trouble for reacting to it a few times. But now I take it. Now I take it because, you know, if someone's happiness is the belittlement of others, I feel sorry for that person. Holy shit. Holy shit. When, like, I saw a video of some kid on TikTok. He was autistic and he was putting his coat on. And he thought he was putting his coat on in a really cool way.
Yeah.
I put a comment on and I just said, mate, that honestly looked fucking sick, bro. And he was smiling. I was like, yeah, have a good day. I scrolled down some of the comments. And in between the few that were mimicking me, there was a few else in there that were like, you know, really mean stuff, man. Stuff I can't even repeat on here. Because remember, you know, this kid's autistic. He's putting he's putting himself out there in a way that I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not that confident. Fuck me. I've got some video ideas that I want to put on TikTok. Fuck if I ever do them. Fuck if I ever do them. And this kid is already a few steps ahead of me. Fuck yeah, man. Fucking, I want to see another one of those shits. Go get another coat. Go get a bigger coat. It'll look better. It'll look like you're putting on a cape. Fucking living his best life, man. Yeah, and I think that's what comedy allows people to do. It takes you down to your most purest self.
Yeah.
Hate over love. Like, the one thing that annoys me about Stranger Things, and I think maybe in season 5 they might finally crack onto it, that Eleven's powers have come through hate, and only through hate, and that's how they sort of get her powers back. And I was like, bro, Inception taught me, you know, a memory of love has a stronger foundation than a memory of hate. And towards the end, it's not said, but like they call it like the happy memories that Max is going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, just use the fucking word, man. It's not, there's no other connotations around it. She's more powerful through love. Mm-hmm. And that's what comedy is. There's nothing more like, I, when I proposed to my girlfriend finally, I wanted to be fucking laughing because I almost tripped the fuck over. Yeeted the ring down in the fucking, into the snowy mountains of Canada.
The snowy mountains of Canada.
Yeah, I want to propose in Banff in the Rocky Mountains.
Nice.
Yeah, it's one of the most gorgeous places I've ever been to, man. Well, God forbid my future girlfriend ever hears this episode of the fucking podcast. Wah, wah. If I haven't already, I'm going to. Maybe. I don't know. Give me a sign. Past me talking to future me. Through podcast. Dun, 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 dun. But what about you? What about, like, how does self-deprecating humor affect you? I feel like you may have some strong points of view on this.
I mean, speaking for, you know, it's my go-to.
Yeah.
and I'm glad for you me, said it was, that. It was, for me, it was always the thing of, like, I wasn't really bullied growing up or anything like that. But, you know, I was around people who talk shit. And my whole thought process on it is, if I'm making fun of myself in a way that I know, that I feel is funny, and I'm okay with, then there is nothing anyone can say to really hurt me.
Yeah.
And that was always the thing. And then looking at it from a stand-up perspective, it's like, it's the fucking go-to. Fucking Kevin Hart, Gabriel Iglesias, all these people, that's what they do. It, you know what you alluded to it earlier, you know, when I was talking about John Mulaney, you know, like, oh, he's healing in front of you while he's performing. And I'm not saying that every comic sees stand up as a form of therapy, but I know most do. Mm-hmm. I know most use it as an opportunity to get shit off their chest in a funny way, in a way that makes them feel comfortable and loved and surrounded by a community who actually want to do that.
You bastard. You set me up for Jim Jefferies, but now I think you've set me up perfectly for a comic who does exactly what you've just suggested. I know the exact stand-up I'm going to mention as well. Robin Williams, An Evening at the Met.
Absolute classic.
This man literally talks about his problems with drugs, sex, politics, depression that eventually beat the man, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really sorry to say, but like, I mean, you can just tell this man is healing. His comedy is through energy. It's through release. It's embracing that weird side of you. Someone says you're weird. Fuck. Good. Take that. You're not normal. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Embrace mm-hmm. that weirdo. For so long, I spent my entire life, like, I would watch the things on YouTube that I'd want to do. I would watch people open Pokemon cards. I'd watch people go traveling. I'd watch people like go to these great food places and shit. And then I sort of said to myself after COVID, no, not anymore. I want to open Pokemon cards. I'm going to fucking open some Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. You know, I want to listen to my metal and be proud of my metal. Fuck yeah. Like I was so I did once this Spotify year in review thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a few people pop up and tell me that my taste in music was like shit, basically. Oh, it's unfortunate that you listen to such and such. Oh, I'm sorry that you listen to such and such. Fuck you! Fucking love this music, man. Watch the fucking Viking movie I'm going to make in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
With some of these fucking bands. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Oh, for sure. That's going to be so fucking dope.
That's going to be so fucking dope. I'm talking like big fuck off swords. Oh, speaking of big fuck off swords, there's another exact replica or exact item in the last episode of Strange Things. The sword David Harbour uses is from Barbarian.
Oh, right. Conan. Yep. Conan the Barbarian.
That's sick. And also, so I saw someone on TikTok, just to segue a little bit. Sorry, be real quick. Eddie plays Master of the Puppets, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yes, essentially, it has come out at the time playing of the song. But for 2 weeks, you mean to tell me Eddie has replayed Master of the Puppets thousands and thousands of times to play Master of the Puppets that perfectly?
Fuck.
And we let this man die? If you look at the date of where the Stranger Things ends, the date it supposedly ends, and the date Master of the Puppets comes out, it's 2 weeks.
Jesus. So, just because you mentioned Robin Williams, and I was thinking about, like, classic comedians. There are a couple that obviously pop into my head. You know, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy.
George Carlin.
He's actually who I want to focus on in this last bit because I we talked about, I was watching this documentary that they have on HBO Max about him.
Oh, I never watched that. Shit. I knew there was something I forgot. Well, I'm back in LA in September. I can rectify my mistake.
It's all good. But like, giving us a glimpse into how this guy started and the way he made his transition into the George Carlin that we know, where like he started as a pretty traditional comedian. You know, he was pretty clean cut. He wore suits and everything. And then around the time when Lenny Bruce started getting arrested for dropping F-bombs at comedy clubs and shit like that. That was actually something that happened. If you swore, you got arrested. You know, Carlin was there watching Lenny Bruce get arrested. And there was times where he got arrested too. And it's like, it's fucking insane. And it completely altered his way of thinking, especially his approach to comedy. Like going into like the late 60s and 70s where he really just fucking let people have it. And like there's one bit that he has and I really like. It's like, if there is a God, I think most reasonable people might agree that he's at least incompetent and maybe, just maybe, doesn't give a shit. Doesn't give a shit, which I admire in a person and which would explain a lot of these bad results. And then he always, you know, he did like the whole, the seven words you can't say on television thing.
Yeah.
Which is mind boggling. And like, it just shows me how much of an impact comedians and comedy has in terms of the world. Because of all the change that came about from Carlin, from Lenny Bruce, from Pryor, from Murphy, from Lopez, Marine, Rodriguez, all of these fucking people, Jeffries, fucking even Jimmy Carr to an extent. Mm-hmm. But it's incredible how much power they have in terms of like their words and the amount of like just no bullshit behind what they say. So yeah, like talking about like how impactful, you know, comedy is and everything. And there's something that we kind of forgot to mention at the beginning of the episode. Mm. Boris Johnson resigning. Oh,
that's the only reason I mentioned it.
It's the only reason I mentioned it is because I would love to see what people are gonna have to say about this. Like the field day with BJ, it's just insane.
BJ got blown.
BJ got blown. He blew it.
Blew his load.
Couldn't take it anymore.
Blew his load all over the place. Jackson Pollock the walls, my guy.
Yep, absolutely.
But I fucking hate that guy.
BJ. I could never take that fucking guy seriously.
That man couldn't string two sentences together if he fucking tried. And he led this country for however long. Not that anyone, in his place would have handled a pandemic better. No one was prepared. Yeah. But he found a way to handle it wrong. probably prided himself on it. I swear to fucking God.
Probably.
I don't know what will happen now. I think it's the same reason how Theresa May came in, because David Cameron resigned with still a few years left on his bullshit.
Yeah.
So Theresa May came in and sort of handled things. So I guess Conservatives will just bring someone in and then they'll lose the election. Probably. Most people probably want it to. But then when they don't lose, there'll probably be, like, riots in the streets. There usually is. There's always riots in the streets. Even when there shouldn't be riots in the street, you'll open up your windows, a couple of cars, fucking riots in the street.
Fucking riots in the street.
What's gone wrong today, love?
Oh, it's about that time of year, huh?
Shooting's awesome. I mean, not sweet. Not really awesome, but, you know.
Like, shit, sarcastic. Really. I want to make it perfectly clear. Being sarcastic. So this was obviously, you know, a relatively quick episode. And I feel like we still touched on a lot, which especially when it comes to comedy. And I kind of want to end it.
Short and sweet.
I want to end it with the seven words. I don't know if you, right. do you know Carlin's seven words?
No, I don't. I don't think I do.
Okay. So these are in no particular order. So the seven words that you're not supposed to say on TV that Carlin just, I feel like a majority of his comedy kind of like reverberated around this one bit. The words are tits, cunt, cocksucker, piss, shit, fuck, motherfucker.
He said them all.
Said them all. I think that's a good way to wrap this up.
That's a good way to wrap this up. Respect to George Carlin.
Respect to all.
And if you are a struggling comic, keep going.
Yep.
I want to see some of your shit someday.
We're seeing someone new when you come out.
Oh yeah, Shay Dona.
Yeah.
Shay Daruna, I can't pronounce his name. He's there. Follow me, you fucking idiots on TikTok.
Like I didn't even know about the guy you sent me, and I was like, yeah, I'm so down. That dude is hilarious.
Oh, dude, some of his TikToks are brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that reminds me, I still need to get those tickets. Oh shit. I am on my way. Yeah, short episode this week, everybody. We'll be back next week. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have the best time.
Be safe.
Yeah, be safe, but have the best time.
Yep. All right, take it easy, everyone.
Bye.
come on, man. Come join us on the trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the script. Ah, we don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.